All right, are you ready to tackle the topic that so many entrepreneurs struggle with, myself included? We are going to talk all about imposter syndrome today. What is it? How do you know if you're battling with it? And then how to take care of it from both a mindset perspective and really this spiritual perspective, because we're going to kind of pull back the layers and see what actually is going on when we are talking about imposter syndrome. Welcome to the Seek First CEO podcast, a community for high achieving kingdom women committed to seeking God first and keeping God first in all we do. If you believe you're called to impact the world through your gifts, then you're in the right place. Hi friend, I'm Heather, teacher turned speaker and your host of the Seek First CEO podcast. I'm passionate about helping ambitious, servant-hearted women find their worth in whose they are, not what they do. As a certified master neuroscience life coach, I help you connect the dots between biblical principles and brain science so you can take your thoughts captive and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't do surface, so we go deep here, and we talk about the stuff underneath the surface because I want to help you get to the source of your heart set and mindset roadblocks so you can have breakthrough by aligning your heart and mind with biblical truths. If your heart's desire is to grow in your relationship with Jesus while fearlessly fulfilling your purpose and calling, then let's open up the Word together and see what the Holy Spirit has to say about living your life in flow with Him. Are you ready? Then get excited for today's episode. All right. Are you ready to tackle the topic that so many entrepreneurs struggle with, myself included? We are going to talk all about imposter syndrome today. What is it? How do you know if you're battling with it? And then how do you take care of it from both a mindset perspective and really this spiritual perspective? Because we're going to kind of pull back the layers and see what actually is going on when we are talking about imposter syndrome. So as we dive in, let's first talk about how does Webster's Dictionary define it? Because I think it's this word that's thrown around a lot, and I don't know that we always even know exactly what it is. So Webster's defines it as this: persistent doubt concerning one's abilities or accomplishments accompanied by the fear of being exposed as a fraud, despite evidence of one's ongoing success. So if we really think about this, that means no matter what level you get to, you might be watching somebody who you are admiring online because they have figured out business and they are at this level further along than you. And I promise you, there's a really good chance that at some point they wrestle with imposter syndrome. Now, I also want to say this. Just because you wrestle with something doesn't mean you have a problem with it, because the quicker we get at taking our thoughts captive and making them in alignment with what God says, the quicker we get out of that. And so I think there's this thing, that this ongoing thought that, like, because I have the thought that I'm wrong, or because I have the thought, or I had to wrestle it out a little bit, that maybe there's something like off with me, maybe I'm insecure, whatever that might be. No, that's part of it. It's that these thoughts can come and, like, the arrows can be thrown at you. Now, what you do with those arrows is what matters. So if you have wrestled with imposter syndrome, you are not alone. In fact, we're going to talk about where this even came from, this idea. So in 1978, there were two psychologists. They were women, Pauline Rose Clance and Suzanne Imes. They first studied this whole concept about the imposter. But here's the really cool part. Number one, it started by studying high achieving women. I mean, come on. Like, is there any irony in that? So they actually studied high achieving women when they started to study this concept of this imposter, but they didn't call it syndrome. And I love this. They called it the imposter phenomenon. Now, I'm just going to let you chew on that for a second. Like, I don't know what, when I think of the word syndrome, I think of, like, there's a problem. When I think of the word phenomenon, I don't necessarily think of the word problem. So I want you to think about that. The women, the psychologists who actually coined this phrase, imposter phenomenon, that's what they called it. They didn't call it this syndrome. And they studied it in high achieving women. Now, they have since found this can happen to male or female, but it very highly happens to high achieving women. And if you're listening to this podcast, guess what? You most likely are like me, a high performing, high achieving, highly ambitious woman. Now, the work that I've been doing internally and with my own coaches and counselors is peeling back the layers of where does that come from and why am I behaving this way? Like, was this just how God created me, or are there maybe things? And that'll be more that we will continue to talk about through the upcoming episodes and throughout this next year of unveiling the why, right? There's the what, right? But then there's the why. And then what do we do with that? But imposter phenomenon didn't actually start out as being called imposter syndrome. I think that in and of itself is something to just sit with for a second if you've ever wrestled with it, that perhaps we think often like there's something wrong with me, or get it together, girl. Like, you know, you've done this and you've done that. But what if it's more of this revelation as opposed to fixing yourself? So here are three signs that you might be wrestling with this imposter phenomenon. Number one, do you believe that you have fooled others into thinking that you're more skilled than you are? I can't tell you how many times I work with incredibly gifted, talented, anointed, educated women who are full of good stuff, and they'll get an opportunity to shine that, and something creeps in like, who do you think you are? You're not as good as you think you are. You don't know what you think you know. It's almost like that same question that the enemy asked, did God really say? It's like, do you really think you're all that special? So do you ever believe that you have fooled somebody into thinking that you are more skilled than you are? Number two, sometimes you maybe wonder if your success is just luck, or maybe charm. Maybe it was just good timing. Maybe other people helped you along the way and you really feel like, yeah, maybe it wasn't all me. Really, and all these things can have factors, right? Not luck. I don't believe in luck, but favor. And sometimes it really just doesn't make sense. But if you are not really ever willing to actually accept that, maybe it was your own ability. Maybe you had a role to play and it wasn't just by chance or just by God loving you and it just being good, right? I know for me, I wrestled with this a little bit in network marketing, because in my first 3 years of network marketing, I still made it to the top 1% and it was good. But in my second go at network marketing, I excelled very quickly, had a $1 million business in just 2 months. And it was like, do I know what I'm doing? Or is this just God's favor? Is this just like, and they always say in network marketing that timing matters. And I use that to grow my team and you got to get in on the ground floor level. But while I do believe that there might be a little bit of truth to that, I really got stirred up in like, the Lord was like showing me and had to show me that no, like, you've actually been doing this for 3 years. You just didn't see the fruit of it. You have been planting seeds for a long time and you saw a lot of fruit, but you didn't see this kind of overnight, air quote, overnight success. So if you ever wonder if your success is just God's favor and just timing or other people or whatever, maybe you really wrestle with seeing yourself the way God sees you and seeing the gifts that he's given you and the goodness that he's given you. All right, the next one that you might be wrestling with is when you have a new task, you do one of two things. You either over prepare or you procrastinate. Let's talk about those. So if you over prepare, let me just think, like, ask you, what do you think you're avoiding? You're avoiding what? Failure of some kind, being exposed if you don't know enough, right? So that might be a sign that you're dealing with some imposter syndrome. On the flip side, if you procrastinate and you don't do the thing, which I always have a to-do list on my desk, and there's always that one thing that I just keep moving to the next week, keep moving to the next week. And if I really get curious around what that is, and right now I'll just tell you, it is my email welcome sequence. I've got some thoughts and beliefs around emails and like that I just get to sit with the Lord on, because I know what to do with this, because this is what I do with clients. But I am no stranger to imposter syndrome or to these mindset things that I'm ever talking with you about all the time. I'm only saying it from a place of, girl, I love you and I have some tools for you and we're going to get through this with the Lord's help. So do you procrastinate and avoid the very thing? That might be a sign that you're dealing with imposter syndrome. And last, another sign maybe that you might relate to is, do you feel like everyone else knows what they're doing but you feel lost. Hello, social media. When you see the people who seem like they have it all together, whether it's their kids are always clean and dressed really well, or their social media just seems to hit every time, and you feel like everyone else has the secret sauce, and if you could just figure it out, you'd be further along. So if any of those relate, then there's a chance that you are wrestling with imposter syndrome. You basically essentially feel like you are not as capable as others think. And maybe, even just maybe, you're questioning, God, did you really call me to this? Because I don't feel like I'm the girl for the job. Well, one of the verses that I love is that his power is perfected in our weakness. And so sometimes it's okay to just recognize that, hey, yeah, I'm not perfect. Yeah, I don't have it all together. And I don't even know exactly what I'm doing. But I have God with me on my side, and we're going to keep going, because his power and the supernatural stuff that can happen through you can happen through the very weaknesses of who you are. But when we're talking about imposter syndrome specifically, here's the reality, is that every next level of you, as you continue to up-level your business, up-level your marketing, up-level your coaching skills, up-level your finances, up-level whatever, your next level, you've never been there before. It's strange to you. It's not familiar to you. And you can't be an expert at something or somewhere that you've never gone. So every next level of you requires you to come up to the friction of, I'm going here, but I don't feel like that's like possible, or I don't feel like, and as you creep toward this, take one step, sometimes that imposter syndrome will kick in and be like, what am I doing? Am I crazy? But every next level of you is going to require you to step into this new belief system about yourself, about God, about whatever the situation is. And so you're going to feel like a beginner. And like you don't really know what you're doing. And sometimes that feeling like we don't know what we're doing almost tricks us into believing that we have done absolutely nothing to get up to this point. So here are some tips that I want to share with you how to overcome this imposter phenomenon. If you have this fear of being found out, you can really just like ask yourself, what am I afraid of people finding out? And a lot of the times this is so closely related to imposter syndrome. I'm sorry, to perfectionism. Because perfectionism is really rooted in pride. Not wanting people to see that you're not perfect. And so what is fear telling you? You're what? Not good enough, not smart enough. Like fill in the blank, get curious around that, lean into that so that you can actually expose the dark for what it is. My question to you is, what are you not convinced of? Is it that you're not convinced of where God's calling you? Is it not you're not convinced of that God can do anything through you if you just surrender and give him your heart? Is it that you're not convinced that God is actually good and he wants to take you further? Like, what are you not convinced about? Because if you're not convinced about it, it's going to be really hard for you to convince other people. And I think so much on social media, when you do videos like this, like you do want to carry a level of confidence that you don't feel like you're crazy, because so many times people are trying to sell stuff that fake it till you make it. Faith it till you make it is okay. Fake it till you make it is like, no, people pick up on that. But do you have faith to believe the things that are not as if they are so, and speak them out and believe and come into alignment with what God sees and what God knows and what God believes about you? All right, let's talk about some ways to overcome it. I think I have 7 tips for you today of ways to overcome imposter syndrome. We just talked a little bit about some of them. And number one is name it to tame it. Darkness can't remain when the light shines in. And this is the truth, is that if there is some sort of imposter syndrome, it's a fear, it's a lie, it's a something that is dark and it feels yucky and shameful and it wants you to remain hidden. So we want to name it so that we can expose it. Because whatever God reveals, he will heal if you let it. And it's not to shame you for saying you're afraid of this or what, it's to name it so that we can tame it and we can expose it for what it is, because darkness cannot remain where the light shines in. Let Holy Spirit shine into that dark part instead of trying to suppress it and ignore it and just fake it till you make it. Number two, you're going to flip the script. Or if you're a visual person and you want to turn the lights on and off, you're going to flip the switch. And what you're going to do is you're going to give your brain a chance to actually see all that you've accomplished up until this point. Make a list. Literally, get out a piece of paper and write on it all the things that you have accomplished up until this point, so that your brain can settle down and say, wait a second, you might not be where you want to go. You might not be where you see and what you'd like to be at, but look at all of these things that you have accomplished. You're not an imposter. You're not faking it. You have all these other things. This is one of the most powerful exercises, because I did this recently after reading a couple books, and it really just talks about becoming your future self. And it's so easy as a high achiever to forget everything that you've already accomplished and everything that you've come through, because it's almost as if like that's this former and we're moving on, the dangle, the carrots like here, and we're just running toward the thing. We don't have time to look back there. But it is so good to take an assessment and this review of your life in the last year is super powerful. In the last 10 years is really powerful, because sometimes when we try to set those goals for like 10 years out or 5 years out, it's hard to even fathom where we're going. But when we actually take an assessment of where we were 10 years ago and where we are now, or five, or whatever the time frame is, it's mind-blowing to actually see the amount of growth that we've had. And so you want to flip the switch, turn the light on, or flip the script from I'm not good enough to look at everything that I've accomplished. Look at everything that I've learned. Look at everything that I have become skilled in, and allow your brain to see how much you have actually grown. All right, number three is you're going to separate your feelings from reality, because the truth is sometimes our feelings lie to us. Sometimes our feelings are telling us a different story than truth. And feelings are produced with our thoughts and our emotions. They go hand in hand, and it's like these two things feed off of each other. And sometimes those arrows that are thrown at us, like you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're a liar, you're an imposter, who do you think you are? Those are little arrows being thrown at you. And it's not that you're bad that the arrows are being thrown at you. The enemy certainly wants to get you off track. It's what do you do with those arrows? Do you stay wounded and stuck and overanalyzing and fearful that people are going to find you out? Or do you take them out and recognize this has no place here? I'm going to separate what I feel from what I know, because I am going to declare and decree and stand on truth. Even in this moment of I don't feel it, I'm going to speak truth over myself. I'm going to speak life over myself. And I'm going to stop playing this game of I'm going to be exposed to God, that I am a light on a hill in a city that cannot be hidden. And Lord, I have nothing to hide. It's all for his glory anyways, hopefully. And I haven't always believed that or felt that way. And I always need a self-assessment and a self-check. But when you separate your feelings from reality, from facts, from holy facts, right? Sometimes you'll realize that your feelings are just on this emotional roller coaster, and they've gotten a little too far away from truth. Number four, stop comparing. Now, here's the truth about comparison. Sometimes we will look at somebody and we will compare ourselves and we'll start to feel much less than. We'll envy and jealousy and all these things. And it's like, oh, I'm not good enough. And look at them. But what if instead of comparing in a negative way, we got really curious around that person and what they carry and what we recognize in them and what we can honor about them? And then to take it a step further, after you stop comparing and you create curiosity instead of what is it about them that's so unique, that's so awesome, that I'm attracted to, that I feel is so valuable. Number five is you want to create connection with that person. So stop comparing and get curious. And then create connection to the people that you're actually comparing apples to oranges to, or you're comparing, you're saying apples to apples, but what if it's completely different? Because God has you and you might both be coaches. You might both be health and fitness trainers. You might both be photographers, both be realtors, but God doesn't make duplicates and you are unique and there's something that you carry. And while you might be in the same profession, you have different stories. And you have different skills and you have different things. And even if you went to the same school or the same program or didn't and ever learned everything the same, your delivery, your personality, your story is always what's unique to you. So instead of creating separation by comparing and that like repelling of like, oh, I'm so far away from that person, create connection and see what do you maybe actually have in common. And it might be as simple as, I like her branding colors. I like how she words XYZ. And what the comparison tries to do to us is it tries to repel us and show us how very different we are. When if we can flip it and say, hey, we're different, but we also have some things alike. And we can really connect to some of those things that we actually like about that person. And who knows, maybe from there, there's some sort of collaboration. I think God would be so pleased with his daughters collaborating more instead of comparing and feeling less than. What if it was, hey, you have something that I don't have, even though we're in this same vein, and we could collaborate together and make this even better and work together as the body of Christ. All right, number six, you want to get over this imposter syndrome? Talk to someone that's not as harsh to you as you are to yourself. Hire a coach, talk to a friend, call up a mentor. Maybe if your spouse is super supportive like mine, then talk to them. Just let it all out. Talk it out. Because the reality is that we often have like 100 tabs open in our brain at all times, and it's just going and going and going and going. And we can't really separate like, oh my gosh, but we have all these thoughts ruminating. You have thousands and thousands and thousands of thoughts every day. Get it out. Something really beautiful about journaling, but there is something really beautiful about talking it out to somebody. Somebody who can say, hey, sis, let me hold up a mirror so that you actually remember who you are. Because it's as if like you looked in the mirror and you remembered it, but then you looked away and you forgot who you are. And I'm here to show you and remind you who you are, why you're unique, why you're called to this space, why you're impactful, and why you're going to keep going. You need a cheerleader. And sometimes we got to pay for those people. That's been a lot of my journey as a leader, is it's me paying for someone to help me move further along. And I also think we should get into more groups as women, where women are at a similar skill level as we are. And masterminds are wonderful for this. Can I tell you, the first mastermind I joined stretched me so far because I had so many hurts from women and different ideas that I just felt like, but I really felt like the Lord told me in that season that you have a seat at the table. I've already given you a seat at the table. It's your choice to sit down or not. And I don't know who needs to hear that, but you can't do business alone and you can't do imposter syndrome alone and all the other mindset things that go on in business. You're not meant to do it alone. God's going to put the right people in your path to support you and encourage you. And last but not least, stop holding yourself to expectations that you don't hold others to. Why is it that we expect so much from ourselves and it has to look or be or whatever a specific way when we give so much grace to other people? I really believe that God is showing his children that in order to love him and to love others, you can't be at war with yourself. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then to love your neighbor as yourself. I believe that so many believers are at war with themselves. And if you're at war with yourself, the Bible even says how you judge others, you will judge yourself. So if we haven't fully experienced the love of the Father, the way that he wants to lavish it on us, we won't be able to give that because you can only give what you've actually received. And this whole imposter syndrome thing is really all about your mindset. It's all about who you believe that you are and who you believe that God is co-laboring with him in this thing. So I want to encourage you. You're going to outgrow your pot. Have you ever planted flowers? And maybe you start out with those little ones, and it's just that really tiny little pot. Well, as the flower gets bigger, you have to move it to a bigger pot. So visually, when you see that and you close your eyes and you imagine yourself being put into a new pot, that pot feels bigger. That pot is a lot roomier, but there's a reason for that because God is giving that pot more room to grow. He's giving you more room to grow as a flower. And so every next level of you, imposter syndrome or imposter phenomenon is going to be knocking at your door. It's not that that means that you are less because you're battling with this. What it means is where you come out on the other side of this is, what am I going to do with this imposter syndrome stuff? What am I going to do with these thoughts that are coming my way? Am I actually going to slow down and put a magnifying glass on it and get honest about this is what that thought, this is what's looming in my mind? Am I going to name it to tame it? Am I going to actually remind myself who I am? Literally, like literal, you don't have to just like the church things of I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm free and forgiven. Those are all true, but like, no, tell your brain, I've accomplished this, and I've grown from this and I've done that. Stop comparing, start connecting, and then start getting curious around that and maybe collaborate. Hire a coach. That has been the fastest track to my own success. Talk to someone and stop holding yourself to this high standard that you wouldn't even hold your best friend to. Even though you know she's capable of it and she is made for so much more, you're never going to shame her into getting there. You are going to love her and encourage her into getting there. It is the kindness of the Father that leads us to repentance, not the shame and the anger and the disgust and the disappointment of the Father. So allow his love and light to shine in your heart today so that you can really start to see yourself the way that God sees you, so that you can be that light on a hill in a city that cannot be hid in the marketplace. And imposter syndrome has nothing on you because you know exactly who you are in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this topic that we get to get curious around. And as the enemy would love for us to not know who we are and for us to question our identity and for us to question how good you are and how kind you are and how intentional you are and how loving you are and accepting you are. Lord, you don't expect us to be perfect, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us. And so we just thank you and Jesus for all you have done for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your wisdom and revelation and for teaching us. So I pray for the ears that are listening to this, guide her into truth, because the truth is what will set her free. And as she battles these thoughts about her not being enough, she just continues to sit in your lap or sit at your feet, at Jesus's feet, and just let him remind her of who she is so that she can run her race well. God, we thank you. This is all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.